Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Nun Aleph. We're holding on daf Kuf Nun Amud Beis. We are two lines from the end of the page on daf Kuf Nun Amud Beis. We are at Klal Amar Abishal. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored Lizachus for Shalema for Mayor Yosef Ben Yita by his children and grandchildren. I would also like to sponsor Lizachus for Shalema for Gavriel Shamir Ben Freda Chaya and his recipient. So we are holding again two lines from the bottom of the page on Daf Kuf Nun Amud Beis, and the Gemara is going to discuss what the rule of Abishol that's mentioned at the end of the Mishnah is going on, what previous line it's going on, and what it adds. Then the next Mishnah is going to talk about benefiting from a malacha that's done by a non-Jew, and can you benefit from something that you are mesupuk if the malacha was done by a non-Jew for you or not for you? And also, why is it that we can use an aron and a kever as soon as Shabbos is over, even though it was prepared by a non-Jew? Then the next Mishnah is going to discuss which tzarchei hameis a Jew is allowed to do on Shabbos. That's going to be the bottom Mishnah on Amud Aleph, and the Gemara is going to talk about why it is that we're allowed to apply oil and water to a mace, but not to the karka, not to the ground. Then the next Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to talk about closing the eyes of a mace, and then we're going to get into a broader discussion about the value of living people over dead people, and the issues relating to poverty and to tzedakah. So mostly we're talking about tzarchei hameis on today's daf, but a number of other fascinating inyanim come up as well. So says the Gemara again, two lines from the bottom of the page, Kuf Nun Amud Beis, Klal Omer Rabbi Shaul, Kol Sha'ani. So the rule that he gave was, anything that I'm zakai ba'amiraso, anything that I'm allowed to talk about on Shabbos, Rasha Ani lahach shecholav, I'm allowed to be mach shechol tchum, head toward the edge of the tchum Shabbos for those same needs. So Abishol Laheya, which previous line in the Mishnah is Abishol going on? Ilema a Reisha ka'i, if you're going to tell me he's going on the Reisha, so where the Tanakhama said, ein mach shechol tchum liskor po'alim lahavi peros, that you're not allowed to go to the edge of the tchum Shabbos in order to hire workers to bring your payrolls in. So hi kol sha'ani zakai b'amiraso, rasha ani b'chashchaso, kol she'eini zakai b'amiraso, eini rasha b'chashchaso mibayilei. Then we're saying it all wrong. He shouldn't be talking about what I'm allowed to do. He should make a klal about what I'm not allowed to do, because the first line in the Mishnah was what we're not allowed to be machshechal tchum about. Ella asefa kai, he must be commenting on the seifa avol machshechul lishmaru mevi payrolls biado, that we said he's allowed to be machshech al tchum, to watch and to protect his peros, and then he could go and bring peros after Shabbos. So Abishol is putting a klal to describe that halacha. Yeah, but even so, hay kol shani zakai b'chashichaso, rashani b'amiraso mibayilei. He's tola in the wrong thing, meaning the Mishnah had said you're allowed to be machshech al tchum. So what Abishol should have added was, oh, just like I'm allowed to be machshech al tchum, I'm also allowed to talk about such things. But he said it backwards. He said kol shani zakai b'amiraso, whatever I'm allowed to talk about. But the Mishnah didn't say anything about things that you're allowed to talk about. He should have started, whatever I'm being machshech al tchum about, I'm also allowed to talk about. So it seems to be backwards. Now the truth is, Tosus points out, the Gemara could have asked this question even on the first possibility that it was going on the Reisha, that seemed to be backwards as well. And the Gemara just said that the Gemara didn't ask this question on when we suggested that it was going on the Reisha. So Tosus explains, because when it comes to Isser, we do find that the Isser of Amira was already mentioned in the Mishnah. It was mentioned earlier on Kuf Nun Amud Aleph, so we did have the Inyan of Amira mentioned, and therefore it makes sense to talk about Kol She'eini Zakai Ba'amiraso, and then Eini Zakai B'Chashichaso. So we had a different question on the suggestion that Abishol was going on the Reisha. But bottom line is, says Gemara Liolam Asefa Kai, we have to say that Abishol was going on what the Tana in the Sefer was talking about, that you're allowed to be Machshech Al Tchum, to be Shomer the Peros, but V'Abishol Aha Kai, he wasn't going on the specific statement that the Tanakhama made in the Sefer. Rather, he was going on an assumption that the Tanakhama was making, because it's an obvious assumption that didn't need to be stated. And Abishol was adding to that assumption. What was the assumption? Well, even though it's an assumption that we assume Tanoim had, it was best formulated by an Amora. D'amar v'damar Shmuel, this assumption was formulated by Shmuel, that muta la'adam lomer l'chaveru shmar li perusha b'tchumcha va'ani ashmar l'cha perusha b'tchumi. A person can make a deal with his friend who's residing in a different tchum. You watch my peros that are in your tchum Shabbos that I don't have access to, and I'll guard your peros that are in my tchum Shabbos that you don't have access to. So even though each one is not allowed to go into the other one's tchum Shabbos, but you're allowed to make such a deal because there's no iser, neither one is doing an iser on either side of that equation. The Levush Esrad points out that on the side of the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Shin Zayin, that even though you could have just said Shmar Liva Ani Eshmar Lach, meaning he could have just said in one way that Shmar Li Peros Shabbat Chumcha, without mentioning that it's a two-way deal. We dafka want to mention that it's a two-way deal to be mechadish, that it's not a violation of Schirus Poelim, that you might have thought that you're hiring him. Look, you watch my Peros only in exchange, and I'm watching your Peros. So you might have thought that that's more problematic because of Schirus Poelim. So bottom line is, even though each one is not allowed to go to the other one's Tchum Shabbos, you see that you're allowed to tell him to watch your peros, and there's no iser, because since he doesn't have an iser in doing it, it's not considered to be his askus b'cheftzei chol, which is aser based on himself cheftzei v'dabar davar. It's not cheftzei chol at all. And based on this, the Rashba wants to say a great chiddush. We can learn from here that if a person is mekabel Shabbos early, that he's allowed to tell another Jew who is not yet mekabel Shabbos to do malacha for him, and that's not an iser of dibur, because as long as the other guy is allowed to do it, even though it may be usher for you, you're allowed to ask him to do it. Just like over here, I'm not allowed to go to those peros, they're outside of my tchum Shabbos, but you, another Jew who it's within your tchum Shabbos, you are allowed to do it, and therefore I'm allowed to ask you to do it. So says the Rashba, you see from there very clearly that such a halacha applies. However, the Ran rejects the Raya. He says, because over here I am allowed to do it. All I have to do is set up Borganin. If there had been huts along the way, my Tchum Shabbos could have theoretically extended. Whereas in a case where I'm a Kabbal Shabbos, it's too late. Once I'm a Kabbal Shabbos, then there is no Heter B'davar. So the Achronim discuss whether that's a valid Taina against the Rashba. Bottom line is, we do Paskin like that Rashba, that if I'm a Kabbal Shabbos early and another Jew has not yet been a Kabbal Shabbos, I am permitted to ask him to do Malacha for me. So now, based on that assumption that we're allowed to make a deal, that I'll ask you to watch my peros in your tchum and I'll watch your peros in my tchum, so Abishol comments to the Tanakama who allows such a deal, Milo Modis, don't you agree? The Mutar Adam Lomer Lechavero, Shmar Li Perosh B'tchumecha, V'Aniyah Shmar Lecha Perosh B'tchumi, V'Ema Kol Shani Zakeh V'Emrasa Rashani La'ach Shechalav. Once you're allowed to make that deal, why not say it in a broader way? Why not mention this in a way that's more inclusive and make a broader rule about it, that anything I'm allowed to talk about, I'm also allowed to be machshich alatchum about? And then we would learn additional heterim, not only this heter of you watch my peros and I'll watch your peros. So klal lasuye mai, what would it come to include? What additional heterim would it teach me? Well, lasuye hadetan rabbanan would tell me what the brisa tells me, that ain machshich alatchum lahavi behema, that I'm not allowed to be machshich alatchum in order to bring a behema into my tchum Shabbos, in order to bring a behema back home on Motzei Shabbos, but Haisa Omed Deschutz L'Tchum, if my behemah is outside of the Tchum, Kari Lavi Hiba'a, I'm allowed to call to it, and you don't have to worry that I might go out of the Tchum in order to draw it. I'm allowed to call to it and allow it to come in. And Klal Amar B'Shol, Kol Shani Zaka V'Amrasi, Rashani La'ach Shechlov, Umach Shichin L'Fakeach Haliskei Kella. That's why I'm allowed to go to the Tchum Shabbos in order to deal with whatever's going to be needed for a Kella, to get the Hadassim that are necessary for a Kella. V'Haliskei Ameis, I'm allowed to go to the edge of the Tchum Shabbos to be prepared to get whatever is needed for a mace, because all of these are Cheftzei Mitzvah, so I'm allowed to speak about them, and therefore I'm allowed to be Machshech al Tchum about them. Va'omrim lo, and you can tell the Shliach on Shabbos who's going to deal with Iskei Kala and Iskei Mace, Leich L'makom Ploni, go to such and such a place to deal with whatever the Kala needs or the mace needs. V'im lo matzasa makom Ploni, havei mi makom Ploni, and I can give specific instructions. If you don't find what you need in such a location, go to a different location. If you don't find it for X price, pay 2X. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you can't mention any numbers. You can't mention how much he should spend. So it's machlokas Rishonim how to understand that. Rashi seems to say that Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda is arguing on the Tanna Kamma. The Tanna Kamma said you're allowed to say to him, if you can't find it for $100, pay $200. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says, no, don't mention any prices. However, the Rambam in the 24th parak of Hilchos Shabbos says that there is no machlokas between the Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda also allows you to mention manam asayim. When he says chum mekach, what he means is, don't say a maximum price that you're willing to spend. I mean, you can say, buy it for this amount, buy it for that amount, but the way the Magen Mishnah explains the Rambam, you're not allowed to give a specific number above which he should not go, because that's not about tzarchi mitzvah anymore, that's just about being matzal your own mama, and that's about saving money for yourself, and such discussion is not appropriate on Shabbos. Okay, new Mishnah now. Mishnah is going to discuss benefiting from a malacha done by a goy. So, machshichan al tchum lefakeach al iskekala. So first we repeat the halacha that we've quoted already from this Mishnah a couple of times, that you're allowed to be machshich al tchum for cheftzei shemayim, for issues that relate to a mitzvah. But now, here's the new topic. Nachri shevi chalilin b'shabbos. If a nachri brings flutes or whatever instruments they need for a hesped, it used to be very common that for a hesped, they would play dirges or whatever musical instruments that would create a certain mood. So you're allowed to bring chalilin on Shabbos, a nachri that brings chalilin on Shabbos, rather, for a hesped, lo yispod ben Yisrael. A Jew may never use those chalilin. It's a knas midrabanan. You're not allowed to get hana'a from a malacha that a guy did for you on Shabbos. Elam kein ba'omi makum karov, unless he brought them from within the tchum Shabbos. So then you're allowed to use them after Shabbos is over. But us, lo aron v'chafrlo, if the nachri made an aron or v'chafrlo kever, or they dug a kever for a Jew, then you're covered by Yisrael. Then I shouldn't say for a Jew. If they made an Aron or they dug a kever, you're covered by Yisrael. Then a Jew is allowed to bury his mace in that kever, in that Aron, on Motzai Shabbos. V'mishvil Yisrael, lo you covered by Olamas. But if he did it for the Jew, then you're never allowed to bury, to use that burial plot. The Ran writes that in the name of other Rishonim, at the Balamar and the Rosh, explaining Shitas Rabbeinu Tam, that whatever we say that a Jew is not allowed to get hanah from malacha of a nachri, that's dafka for the Jew that the malacha was done for. And the Rashi explains that the svara is that the whole concern is that we're afraid you might tell the nachri to do the malacha for you, and therefore you're not allowed to get hanah from malacha that was done for you. Well, that reason is only shaykh if he did it for you. If he didn't do it for you, he did it for another Jew, then I'm not concerned that that's going to lead you to tell a nachri to do it for you. However, the Ramban in the Molchamos, in Maseches Beitzah, disagrees. And he says, no, we're only makel when the Nachri did an Issa D'Rabbanan for somebody else. But if a Nachri did an Issa D'Araisa for another Jew, then no Jew is allowed to get Hana'a from it. And we can't be makel on such a thing. It's also for every Yisrael, says the Ramban, to get Hana'a from it. So that's fundamental Machlokes Rishonim. This Halacha, the Mishnah is telling us that if a Nachri did Malacha for a Jew, that a Jew is not allowed to get Hana'a from it. Is it only for the Jew for whom it was done that he's not allowed to get hanah from it, or it's any Jew is not allowed to get hanah from it? Okay, so the Mishnah said that you're not allowed to use the chalilim that the Nachri brought on Shabbos unless you know that they came mimakom karov. So my mimakom karov, what does it mean you know that they came mimakom karov? Rav mimakom karov mamish. Rav says you have to know for sure that they were within the tchum Shabbos before Shabbos started. You have to know that with certainty. And apparently, if you have any suffix about it, then you need to be machmir. So the Rishonim are bothered. Why? Why if it's a suffix? This is an issue to Rabbanan over here. Generally speaking, suffix to Rabbanan lekula. What in the world, why in the world would Rav say that if it's a suffix, you would need to be machmir? So the Ramban in the Mochamos explains that yes, it's true, issue to chumen armi to Rabbanan, but this is considered a davar shiyeshlo matirin. Because according to the Ramban, you are allowed to be masmid with them after b'kdei sheyasu, after the the amount of time that it would take to get them on Motzei Shabbos. So therefore, all you would need to do is wait long enough, and it's going to become mutter anyway. And the rule is, any davar sheyesh lo matir, and anything that if you were to just wait, would eventually become mutter, the halacha is we do not rely on safek d'rabbanan l'kula by a davar sheyesh lo matir, by something that eventually will become mutter. The Ran, however, disagrees. He says that, no, the reason we're machmir over here was because they would typically bring the chalil mitzchutz l'tchum. So it's not like really a 50-50 safek. It's like a rove, that the standard assumption is that it came from outside the tchum. So that is Rav's shita. Shmuel amar, chashinon shemachutz l'chom alanu. That Shmuel says, even if you see that the Nachri brought them into the city on Shabbos, we are allowed to be makel if we don't know for sure that they came from outside of the tchum. Chashinon over here is an unusual usage of the word chashinon. The Rishonim point out, Rashi points out, chashinon normally means that we're choshesh l'chumra. Over here, chashinon means l'kula. That l'kula, we're allowed to assume that this came from within the tchum if we don't know otherwise. So a fundamental dispute between Rav and Shmuel, what sorts of assumptions can we make if we're not sure whether the chalilim came from inside the tchum or outside the tchum? Rav says you have to know it came from inside the tchum. Shmuel says it has to be possible that it came from inside the tchum. So Dekam Asnisan Kavasa de Shmuel. Our Mishnah is more meduyak according to Shmuel. Diktani asalo aron v'chafarlo kever, you cover by Yisrael. Alma misvei kashari. So when a guy makes an aron or a kever, we're apparently allowed to use it. Do you know for sure that he didn't make that for you? So achanami misvei kashari. Over here also, misafik, it's apparently going to be mutter. Sounds much more like Shmuel. V'tanya kavasei derav. But we also have a Mishnah that seems to support Rav. The word v'tanya is the incorrect girsa. The Ritva corrected Shbiyu Tnan, because what we're about to quote is a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah in the second paragraph of Maseches Machshirin that tells us as follows: Ir she Yisrael v'nachrim darimba. If you have a city that both Jews and non-Jews populate that city, vaysa b'merchatz amarachetzes b'Shabbos, and there is a bathhouse that operates on Shabbos. So the nachrim that work in the bathhouse are preparing water and they're doing all sorts of malachos on Shabbos. So what do you consider that? Is it considered that they're doing those malachos for Jews, in which case you're not allowed to get an offer from that malacha? Or do we assume, no, they're doing it for the non-Jewish clients? So im rov nachrim, if most of the city is populated by Nachrim, so la'arev rochitz b'miyad. So then right away, after Shabbos, a Jew is allowed to use that merchatz. But in Rov Yisrael, if the majority of the city are Jews, yamtinat k'dei she'yicham u'chamin. You have to wait the amount of time that it would take for them to heat up the water after Shabbos, so they don't get hana'ah from the malach of Shabbos that they did for you. We assume they're doing it for the Rov. Ooh, but what if it's a safek? Mechzal mechza. What if it's exactly 50-50, and this is the point we're trying to bring out? Ad k'day sheyichmu chamin. Then you have to wait. You treat it like a city that's Rov Yisrael. So misafik were choshesh that he did it for the Jews, and therefore you see, like Rav, that misafik such a thing is going to be aser. So that's a Mishnah that seems to support Rav. Before we go weiter in that Mishnah in Machshirin, just a point that Rashi makes, that there does seem to be a distinction between the case of the Nachri bringing the chalilim and the Beis Hamerchatz. By the chalilim that are brought on Shabbos, the Mishnah said you're never allowed to use them. It's not you wait ad kadei sheyasu, whereas at least the way Rashi understood the Mishnah, whereas by the merchatz, you're allowed to use it b'kadei sheyasu, the amount of time that it would take to warm up the water after Shabbos. And the reason is because by the chalilim, we know that it was done for the Yisrael, because they wouldn't bring it, they only bring it for a mace, and the Yisrael is the one that's the mace, whereas the merchatz, you don't know for sure that it heated up the water for the Yisrael, because there are nachrim in the city as well. So that's the distinction Rashi points out. So Rabbi Kiveger just asks Akasha, if that's the case, how can we bring a raya to Rav from the din of the merchatz? It could be that over there it's also misafik because it's davar sheyesh lo matirim, because you could wait b'kadei sheyasu, but by the chalilim where they're always going to be aser, maybe it's a davar sheyesh lo matirim, and therefore we have to be more makil by the chalilim. So that's not necessarily a raya to Rav. So that's Rabbi Kiveger's kasha on Shitas Rashi. But now weiter in that Mishnah Machshirin, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Bambati Ketana, if you have a small bathhouse, im yesh bo rishus, rochitz b'miyad. If there's a rashus, Shabbos, if there's some sort of important government official, then you're allowed to be rochitz in it right away after Shabbos. My Rishus, what does that mean? There's Rishus. Amar Vidam Rabbis, or Breder of Yehuda, Im Yesh Ba Adam Chashav, if there's a Nachri who's an Adam Chashav, Sheesh La Asar Avadim, Shemachamun Lo Asar Kumkumin, Bebas Achas, Bambati Kitana, where he has 10 Avadim that help him, and they heat up 10 bottles of water in a small bathtub, a private bathtub for him, Mutter Lirchutz Ba Miyad. Then you're allowed to use such a bathhouse right away on Matzoy Shabbos, because you could assume whatever water they heated on Shabbos was for that important person in case he were to decide to take a bath on Shabbos. So you could assume it was done for a Nachri and not done for a Yisrael. Aslo Aron V'chav Lo Kever. The Mishnah then went on to say that if they made an Aron or a Kever for a Nachri, a Yisrael is allowed to use that Aron and Kever. Amai, says Amar, why are you allowed to use it right away? Just like by the Merchatz, we have to be Machmer Misafek and Aser B'Kadesh Yasu, Hachanami Yamtin B'Kadesh Yasu. Why don't we say the same thing over here? How do you know that it was made for a Nachri? Maybe it was made for Yisrael. So Misafek, you should have to wait B'Kadesh Yasu. So Amar Ula Ba'omeid B'Isratia. No, the case is the kever was dug in such a place where Jews typically don't bury their dead. And therefore, you have the right to assume, that it was made for a Nachri. Tenach Kever, Aron Ma'ikal Memer. Yeah, that's a good answer for a kever, because a kever is in a specific location. But the Aron is movable. So how do you know that they made the Aron Dafka for a Nachri? They placed the Aron right above the kever. So you could see that that Aron was meant to be associated with that kever. And you know the kever was made for a Nachri, and therefore you're allowed to assume that the Aron was made for a Nachri as well. But if there's a good chance that they made the Aron or the kever for the Yisrael, then you would have to wait B'Kadesh Yasu. You would not be able to use it immediately. Next Mishnah, bottom of the page. So Osin called Tzarchei Meis. You're allowed to do all sorts of Tzarchei Meis on Shabbos. And what are the Tzarchei Meis? Sachin, you're allowed to put oil on his body. Madich Nosa, you're allowed to put water on his body. Oblach Lo Yazbo Eiver. But you're not allowed to lift up any of his limbs, his arms, his legs, his eyelids, nothing, because the mace is muktzah, he's also betiltel. So if you want to get the mace off of the mita that he's lying on and to put him on the cold sand, shomtin asakar mitachtav, you have to slip out the cushion from under him, umatilin asa alachol, and then his body memela will end up on the cold sand and it'll decompose less quickly, bishvil sheyamtin, so that he won't be masriach as quickly, he won't decompose as quickly. And koshin asalachi, you're allowed to tie the jaw of the mace closed so that his mouth doesn't open up. Not that if his mouth is ready open up to tie it shut to then close it, but that if it's still closed, you can tie it to keep it in place that way so that it doesn't open up, because that's a bizayon for the mouth to be opened up. Similarly, if a beam of a house breaks and it begins to cave in, so some you could put kalim, you could put bedposts or whatever underneath it to support it, lo shatale, not to lift it up after it's already started to cave in, elish lo tosif, but to keep it in place so that it doesn't cave in any further, in order to block it from falling any further. So now says the Gemara, we had said in the Mishnah that you're allowed to put oil on a mace. There was a mace of the Talmud of a Meir that entered into the base of Merchatz on Shabbos after Rabbi Meir, bikesh ladiach karka, and he wanted to rinse the floor of the Beis HaMerchatz with water, lekavod Rabbi Meir, to clean off the floor. Samalo ein madichin. Rabbi Meir said, no, we don't do that on Shabbos. Lasuch karka, he wanted to put oil on the floor of the Beis HaMerchatz. Amalo ein tzachin, no, we don't do that on Shabbos either. So the assumption is that you're not allowed to be madiach and mesach the karka, because the karka is muktzah, and you're not allowed to do these things l'tzorech, hadavra muktzah. So the Gemara is therefore bothered by Akasha. How come in our Mishnah, l'tzorech meis, which is also muktzah, you're allowed to pour oil and you're allowed to pour water? It's all about an issue of doing this on behalf of for the sake of something that's muktzah. So the Gemara's answer is karka Bekarka michlef, mace bekarka lo michlef. No, the reason you're allowed to be mesech l'tzoruch adavra mukta. When Rameir says that it ain't sach in karka, it was a different reason. He was afraid you're going to be sach the karka. There may be holes, there may be gumos in the karka. You're going to be mashvegumos. It's going to be a violation of the malacha of bone. That's why Rabbi Meir didn't allow it. And the floor of the Beis HaMerchatz was smooth. It was tiled. There was no malacha of bone that you were risking violating. Yeah, but that's a gzeira midrabanan, unless you confuse with karka that in fact does have holes in it. So karka bekarka michlefa, yeah, that's a reasonable din midrabanan, because people do confuse karka for other karka, but a mace bekarka lo michlef. No one is going to confuse a mace for karka, and therefore there's no such concern. Okay, the Mishnah then wanted to say that we do kol tzarchei mace on Shabbos. So kol lasuye mai. What sorts of tzarchei mace are we coming to say that you could do? Lasuye hadetan rabanan comes to tell us the following. Mevin klei mekar, you're allowed to bring kalim that cool off that which they touch. Uklei matchos, or metal kalim, umanichan al kreso, to put it over the belly of the mace, kedesh lo tafuch, so it doesn't swell. Upokikin es nekavav, and you can close off the holes of the mace, meaning his mouth, his nose, kedesh lo tikonis ben aruach, so that his body doesn't swell with air, doesn't blow up with air that gets in through the holes of the body. Va'af shlomo amr b'chachmaso, and Shlomo Melech comments about the belly of a mace, that it could sometimes swell up, based on what the pasuk says in Koheles, where Shlomo warns people to remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu when they're young, before they get too old, and before they die, they should remember to serve Hashem when they have the kochos to do so. Ada Shalom Yeratik Chevel HaKesef, the pasuk says. What's that a reference to, that Shlomo Melech is referring to in Sefer Koheles? Zechut HaShidra. That's referring to the spine, which has the same shape as a chevel, and its color is white like kesef. So yiratik chevel kesef means that a person's spinal column, after he dies, becomes it loses its strength. V'tarutz golus hazahuv, hazahav ze'ama. That's the ama, which is called golas, which is a mayan, because the ama brings forth liquids that flow out of the body. So golus hazav means that after a person dies, the ama breaks. Vatishaver kad al hamabua. What's that referring to? Zehakeres. That's the midsection of a person's stomach, of a person, which is very thick, and when he dies, it also breaks and collapses. V'naritz hagilgal al abar. What's the gilgal? What's the galgal? Zeperesh. That's the stuff that comes out of the person. The galal, like the excrement or whatever, the fluids that come out of a person. So after a person dies, his stomach can swell up, and the peresh comes out and goes into his mouth and comes out from all his orifices. V'cheinu omer, and that's what the pasuk says in the nevuah that said to the kohanim that weren't listening to the Dvar Hashem. V'zireisi peresh al peneichem, peresh chageichem, that the peresh of the mace is going to spread all over their faces, because the stomach implodes and therefore comes out of the mouth. Who does that happen to? That's people who set aside Divrei Torah and treat every day like it's a holiday, meaning every day they're engaged fully in Tanuge Olam Hazeh, in just enjoying themselves, and that is improper behavior. Kaas. 3 days after the patira, the stomach implodes, and the tzoa inside of it falls out. V'omerislon, it's as if the stomach is saying, tol mashenasatabi, take whatever you've put inside of me, meaning whatever was in the stomach starts coming out of the other orifices of the person's body, and it's as if it's saying, all of these tanugim, everything you put in the stomach, now after misa, take it back. It all didn't have any value. Okay, then the Mishnah goes on to say, ein ma'atz min esameis. We do not close the eyes of a dead person on Shabbos, even after Yetzias Neshama, because moving the eyelids is like moving an aver of the mace. He's mukta. V'lo b'chol im Yetzias Nefesh. Not only that, even on a weekday, as soon as a person dies, you do not immediately close the eyelids. V'amatzim Yetzias Nefesh areis ha-shofich damim. Because by doing so, he may not be fully dead yet, and by the slightest touch, it could cause him to die. So it's shofich damim, if you make him die 1 second earlier by closing his eyelids before you know for certain that he is dead. Even if you know that he is dying and that he's almost dead, you're not allowed to close the eyelids right away. You need to give it a few minutes to make sure that he's absolutely no longer alive, that the Yetzias Neshama has already happened. tzamim. If a person closes the eyelids mamish at the time yitzias nefesh, that's shofech tzamim. Mashal ener shekavav aleches. It's like a candle that's being extinguished. So yeah, it's not going to light again. It's about to go out. Adam aniach etzba aleh miyad kavsa. You put your finger on the wick and then it goes out immediately. So you're causing it to more quickly leave. So the neshama is considered like a ner. Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam, and therefore that's why we light candles to, as a zecher to a mace, because the neshama is like a ner. So we use that mashal. You put your finger on it, and right away the neshama is going to go out. Tainim Shimon Liyalomer Harotze Sheisatz Moen of Shalmeis. If you want to close the eyes of a mace on Shabbos, Nofeach Lo Yayin Bechotmo. Since you're not allowed to touch the mace, what you could do is you could put the aroma of wine in his nose. Vinosin Shemen Ben Risa Enav. And drop some droplets of oil between his eyelids. Va'ochez b'shnei goldei raglav, and you could touch his two big toes. Vein misatzmin me'alehem, and then the eyes will close because you're allowed to touch. You're just not allowed to move the mace. So you could touch the big toes, and then somehow the sinews or whatever that are in the big toes will close his eyes. Sounds strange, but you squeeze the toe and the eyes shut. So Tanya, Rav Shimon Lialomer, Tinok ben Yomo Chai Michal. Love the Shabbos. Now, the Gemara just highlights the value of life force in a person. If you have a Tinok Ben Yomo, a one-day-old baby, if he's alive, Mechal Olav HaShabbos, give him Mechal Shabbos to save him from dying. But David Melech Yisrael Meis ain't Mechal Olav HaShabbos. It could be the most important human being, it could be David Melech Yisrael. But if he is no longer alive, you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos, even to save his dignity. Of all people in human history, why do we dafka pick David Melech Israel? So this is meant to bring to mind the sugya that we had earlier on Daf Lamed. A lot of times at the end of the Masechta, we try to bring to mind sugyas that we had earlier in the Masechta. A little chazara, right? We learned the story of David HaMelech dying, and he wanted to know the Yom Moso. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't tell him exactly when, but he told him that it would be on a Shabbos, and the Satan rattling the trees and distracting him from learning Torah. So bottom line is, David died on Shabbos, and his body was mutal in the Chama. It was out there in the sun where it was going to decompose quickly. So they Tafka had this problem with David Melech Yisrael. So that's why we give the example of David Melech Yisrael, that you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos, even for the dignity of David Melech Yisrael. Tinok Ben Yomo Chai, if you have a living Tinok Ben Yomo, Mechal of Shabbos, you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. You know why? Because Amr Torah Chalel of Shabbos Echad, Kadei Sheishma Shabbos Osarbe. He's got a bright future out of him. He's going to have a lot of Shmir Shabbos in the future. It's Kedai to be Mechal of the one Shabbos in order that he should be Shomer many Shabbos. David Melech Yisrael Meis Ein Mechal in Love Kivin Shemeis Adam Batal Min HaMitzvos, because there are no more mitzvos that he can do. Once a person is dead, he cannot fulfill any mitzvos. Vayinu Dam Rabbi Yochanan Bameisim Chavshi Kivin Shemeis Adam Nasa Chavshi Min HaMitzvos. Now once a person dies, he becomes free from mitzvos. There are no mitzvos that he can do anymore. That's the discussion about putting tzitzis on a mace. Do you assume that you passel the tzitzis, or that you should dafka put kasher tzitzis? So the argument to apostle the tzitzis is that once he's a mace, and the discussion about putting shatness on a mace, because he's chafshim in a mitzvah, he has no, and that's why there's a violation of loig l'rash if a person goes into a cemetery wearing his tzitzis out, that he's mocking the dead. The dead might be wearing tzitzis, according to half the Rishonim, you leave the tzitzis on the mace, so what's the problem with wearing tzitzis in a cemetery? Why is that a violation of loig l'rash? Because it's a mockery. He's wearing tzitzis, but he's not being mekayim any mitzvah in doing so. Kivin shemeis adam, when a person dies, he's chafshi min mitzvos. He doesn't have any mitzvos anymore. So we shouldn't mock their inability to do mitzvos while we are still alive and have the ability to do mitzvos. The other point over here is that it's interesting that the reason the Gemara gives for being mechal Shabbos to save a baby is because of all the Shabbosos harbei that he will be able to observe. The Gemara in Yuma has a different rasha. Pasuk says v'chai behem. So we darshan v'chai behem v'lo sheyamos behem. That one is not supposed to die in observance of the mitzvah HaTorah, with three notable exceptions of Zar Gilerai Shvichas Damim. So, and the Gemara has to have a drasha for those in Masech Sanhedrin. We derive each of those exceptions, but the rule is V'chai Bam V'lo Sheyamos Bam in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Shin Chavtas Siv Dalid. The Shulchan Aruch paskins that you mechal Shabbos even if it's only Chaye Sha'a. There aren't going to be any future Shabbosos that this person is going to be able to observe. You're mechal this Shabbos even though he's not going to make it to next Shabbos. So apparently, The reason for the heter is not shekidei sheyishmar shabbos asarbe, and that's what the Bir Halacha writes, that la halacha, the reason for the heter is not because he's going to be mekayim many other shabbosos after you save him, but rather it's because of the pasuk of v'chai behem. So even for chai sha'a, you're allowed to do it. So that's what we pask in the halacha, even though the Gemara gives this different svara over here. V'tanya, Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, tinok ben yomo, chai ein tzorach l'shomro min achuldo min achbarim. If you have a tinok ben yomo and he's alive, you don't need to guard him from animals eating away at his body. But it could be the most imposing person ever. Once he's dead, the animals will go and attack the body. The fear of your life force is going to be on all animals. As long as a person is alive, his fear is going to be struck in the hearts of other living things. Once he dies, his ema is going to go away. Amrav Papa Nikitinan Arye Abetre Lo Nafil. That we have a Mesorah from previous generations that a lion will never chase more than one person. If there are two people together, the lion will not chase them. Because Marachem V'chitchem Yeh Al Chayas Aretz is said B'loshen Rabbim Marachem. So we see that sometimes you need more than one human. But if it's two people together, even a lion, the most ferocious of all animals, when it's awake, is not going to chase after. I hakachazin and denafil. But we see that it's not true. It happens. Lions maul people and they attack people even when they're in groups. So ukedram baraba damram baraba ein chayish shaletz badam ad shenidmalo kibehema. An animal only attacks a person if a person looks like a behema to the animal. Shenamar adam bikar bal yalim nimshal kabehemos nidmu, that someone who a chaya is moshel over, you know that he must have looked like a behema to that chaya, and that's the only reason the chaya attacked him. We mentioned on Tisha B'Av the Maisa that's what they say with if a human being sees a grizzly bear, so what do they say? You should stand up tall and start talking to it, start saying, "Hey bear, I'm busy over here, get out of my way," and you start like yelling at the bear. And then for some reason, the bear just goes away. He's five times your size. He runs 30 miles an hour. He could kill you in a half a second. But for some reason, if you express your humanity, and what does a human have over the animals, is that a human is a medaber. The Kuzari talks about the levels of creation. There's domim, tzomeh, chai, medaber. So we express our ability to be medaber with confidence. And then the grizzly bear apparently runs away. Amar Rabbi Chinina, asa lishan b'bayis yichi. I wouldn't recommend meeting a grizzly bear and trying it, but if a person is in such a circumstance, apparently that's what you have to do. So Amar Rabbi Chinina, asur lishon bebayis yichidi, v'kol hayashen bayis yichidi achzat alilis, that it's dangerous to sleep in a house all alone, that there's a certain shade, a female shade called lilis, that will attack a person when they're alone in a house. V'tanya Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, asay you should always do tzedakah until you find aniyim, wherever you have aniyim available to you, and as long as you have money available to you, and then you know, as long as you're alive and you have the wherewithal to do it, you should always be giving tzedakah. Ad asher lo yavau yimei hara'a. So what does that mean? Elu yimei azik. Now that's referring to a time when a person gets weaker. The yigiu shanim asher tomar einli bem chayfetz elu mei mashiach shema bem lo zchus lo chova. Because there's going to come a time where there's yimos mashiach where you won't have the ability to give tzedakah anymore because there won't be any poor people anymore. So it's such a gevaldik zchus to give tzedakah, to support poor people, to support HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children. You want to do it while you still have the ability to do so. Upliga d'shmul. But this that we're no longer going to have the ability to do so after Mashiach comes is against the teaching of Shmuel. Damar Shmuel, Ein Bein Olam Hazeh Yimos HaMashiach, Ela Shibud Malchus Bilvad. Shmuel says nothing's really going to change in the natural order of the world other than the fact that we're not going to be Meshubah to the Malchus Yimos HaOlam in Yimos HaMashiach. Shnemar Ki Lo Yechdal Evyon Mikerev HaAretz. The Pasuk says that there will not cease to be an Evyon Mikerev HaAretz, that we're still going to have poor people, so we're still going to be able to do the mitzvah of tzedakah. The Rashash points out over here that the Lashon over here is a little bit strange, that we're saying, Upliga de Shmuel, it was a Braisa Normally, we don't quote a brisa and then say, oh, upliga on the Amora. We normally say, it's a kasha on the Amora. How could Shmuel say in Meimam Zayin Mosav Mashiach? It says not that way in the brisa. So it is a little unusual over here. It must have been that Shmuel was teaching an ancient tradition. Tanya Blazar Kapar Omer Leol Mivakash Adam Rachmel Midazu. A person should always daven that he not become poor. Shemulo ba ba beno. Because if the derech olam is that ultimately it will come back to somebody in his family. If it's not him, it'll be his child. Vim beno lo then ba ben beno ba lo ba then ben beno ba shenamar. Because it says by the mitzvah of lending money to a poor person, ki beglal adavar hazeh. So why it's beglal? Tanya Rabbi Shmuel gal galusha chos biolam. It always comes around eventually. Amar Rav Yosef in the Katina, Naitzur Merabanan, lo me'ani. A Tzurba Merabanan does not become poor. Va'kachazim de me'ani. What do you mean? There are many Talmidei Chacham that are poor. So, im'isa de me'ani, aduri episkal de me'hadar. Now, even when a Talmid Chacham is poor, he's not going to go around collecting tzedakah because that's such a low level of poverty is not going to affect Talmidei Chacham, the Me'iri explains. So, the Achronim are bothered by this. It seems ma'isim b'chol yom that such a thing happens. So, the Aruch HaShulchan writes in Hilchot Tzedakah, it means that a Tzurba Merabanan who makes it his business to collect money for other people is never going to have to do so for himself. He should use his reputation in order to be able to collect money to take care of other people. When a poor person comes to you, bring him bread, so that when your children need bread, they will bring to him. Why are you cursing your children that they should be poor? It's not a curse, it's in the natural way of the world. The great skula to have rachmanos min hashamayim is to be merachim al abrios. If a person does that, HaKadosh Baruch will have rachmanos on him. We'll stop there, and Beis Hashem will pick up from there tomorrow a few lines from the bottom of the page, about 6 lines from the bottom of the page. Have a great day, everybody.
Sure. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.